This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allahu khayran for your attendance. We ask Allah azza wa jal to accept from us all. We ask Allah azza wa jal to bestow His mercy and His forgiveness and His acceptance upon us all, and that He forgive our sins and our shortcomings. My brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight's lecture is about the pure heart, Al-Qalb al-Salim. And we're going to discuss what is the pure heart and the benefit of a pure heart, and how does one attain such a heart. But at the very beginning, let me begin by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything around us for a purpose. And He created the human being for a purpose. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, its purpose was mentioned in the Quran. Allah azza wa jal, He said, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنْ يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنْ لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Allah azza wa jal, He says that it is He who created the seven heavens, and similar to that of earths, seven earths. And the decree comes down between the heavens and the earth, meaning everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created of the heavens and the earth, and the trees and the mountains, and the sand and the oceans, all of this, what was its purpose? He said, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. That's it. Its purpose was that you can come to the realization and be aware and acknowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla is capable over all things. When you see this roof above our head now, and that there are pillars in the corners that support it and carry it, and then you observe the heavens, the sky, as vast as it is, as wide as it is, and there is no pillars that carry it. مِنْ غَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا, Allah Azza wa Jalla says. He lifted this entire sky, and He holds it, and there are no pillars that are attached from the sky to the earth. Why? لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So that you can come to the realization that Allah Azza wa Jal is capable over all things. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. And that Allah Azza wa Jal has encompassed all things in His knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal is aware of all matters. You right now sitting, and there's a brother sitting next to you, or there's a sister sitting next to you. What is going on in their heart right now, there is no chance in the world for you to know what it is. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what's in His heart and in her heart. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. That's the purpose for why Allah azza wa jal created everything around us. Everything around us, it points to the fact that Allah is capable over all things. This is the kind of belief and aqeedah that the believer is supposed to have in his heart throughout his life. We're coming to the pure heart. But be with me. This is a aqeedah you're supposed to install in your heart and commit to and adhere firmly to it. أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. The next thing is, then Allah Azza wa Jal created the human being. What's the purpose for why Allah Azza wa Jal created the human being? Allah Azza wa Jal, He said in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create mankind and jinnkind except that they worship me. That's it. That is the only purpose of the creation of mankind and jinnkind. That they worship Allah Azza wa Jal in everything they do. And in every moment of their life. You worship Allah in the way you eat. You worship Allah in the way you drink. You worship Allah in the way you dress. You worship Allah in the way you talk. You worship Allah in where you stretch your hands. And you worship Allah Azza wa Jal by obeying His commands and keeping away from His prohibitions. But you see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the first purpose I mentioned to you, and then the second purpose, they are closely related to each other. You cannot worship Allah if you do not know Allahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Therefore, the first purpose in life is to know who Allah is. That's the first purpose in life. Before it is to worship Allah, the first purpose in life is to know Allah Azza wa Jal by His names and attributes, is to know that Allah is capable over all things. How are you going to learn this lesson? Look around you. Look above you. Look beneath you. Look left and right of you. Everything Allah created refers to the fact that Allah is capable over all things. That's the first purpose in life, to recognize Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the second purpose is for you now to worship this Lord that you have come to know who He is. And your worship to Him is you being grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is you being grateful to Him after you've recognized Him. I give you an example. You know, you all have parents, mothers and fathers. And for those who have passed away, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bestow His mercy and forgiveness upon them. Well, Islam encourages us all to be dutiful to our parents. We love our parents. We serve our parents. We go out of our way to do things for our parents. We want to see that smile on their face. And we want a dua from them. And no matter what pain you go through, that's all right. These are my parents. Right? This is the attitude we have with our parents. And they are created by Allah. To Allah Azza wa Jal belongs the highest of examples. I'll give you that. But let me ask you something. Why are you good to your parents? Why do you feel the need to serve them and to love them? Why? I tell you why. Because you recognize they are your parents. But this is my mother. This is my father. She carried me for 9 months. He provided. He went and worked hard. And every dollar he spent it on my education, on my food, on my nourishment, on my clothing. I recognize. So I am grateful to them for the rest of my life. To Allah belongs the highest of examples. When you recognize who Allah is, when you recognize that it was Allah Azza wa Jal who clothed you, and it is Allah Azza wa Jal who fed you, and it is Allah Azza wa Jal who nurtures you and gave you life and causes your death and decrees all your affairs and matters, and it is Allah Azza wa Jal who guides you, and it is Allah Azza wa Jal, it is Him that you are here tonight. It is Allah Azza wa Jal that your limbs are functioning today and you woke up healthy and you had your well-being. What is Allah Azza wa Jal to you compared to your parents to you? Nothing. Nothing. And so this is why once you recognize He's your Creator and your Lord, now you spend the rest of your life being grateful to Him. How? By observing His commands, adhering to His commands and keeping away from the prohibitions. This is the purpose of life. Everything around us is so that we recognize Allah Azza wa Jal is one. And then afterwards, when we know who He is, we spend the rest of our lives grateful to Him. And that is our worship. Our worship is gratitude. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pray long nights. And this is voluntary prayer. And when Aisha radiallahu anha would say to him that Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven you, why are you praying long nights until his heel would crack and it would bleed? He would say, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا? Shall I not be a grateful slave? What do we learn from this narration? That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to Aisha radiallahu anha, my salat is gratitude to Allah. Yes, I know. Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven me. I'm praying Because I'm grateful to my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then your worship is gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. Let me say this now, that we know the purposes of life. Allah Azza wa Jal decreed this matter and decreed what our purpose will be. Then He created us in two parts. He created us as a body and a soul. We're created two parts, a body and a soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the body of Adam alayhi salam first. That is what appeared physically in front of the angels and in front of Iblis when he was still in the paradise. When he was as a body, it lay there motionless, still. It wasn't moving. There was no life in it. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, after some time, He commanded the angels with something special, unique, that had never happened before that, from the time Allah Azza wa Jal had created everything until Adam alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the angels and He said to them, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Allahu Akbar. Such a huge event that Allah Azza wa Jal records in the Quran. He says to the angels, once I fashion and I design Adam alayhi salam, and then once I blow the ruh into him, ruh, the soul, as soon as it's blown into him, faqa'u lahu sajideen, all of you angels fall into prostration, a prostration of respect and honor to Adam alayhi salam. And so this mighty scene unfolds in the heavens. Jibreel alayhi salam would make a sajda. Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel who one of his 600 wings covers the entire heavens, made the sajda. Wa Israfil, wa malak al-maut, wa hamalat al-arsh, those who carry the throne, eight of them. One of them, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I've been given permission to share one piece of information about the carrier of the throne. Between his earlobe to his shoulder is a distance of three days of fast travel. Allahu Akbar. All of these angels making sujood to who? To Adam alayhi salam. Who's Adam to us? Our father. Why? The question is why? Why were they commanded to make a sujda of honor? What honored mankind? I tell you what honored mankind. You answer. Was it his soul or his body? Most definitely his soul. Because when he was there as a body, no one was commanded to make a sajda. As soon as the soul was put into him, this is when the angels were commanded to make a sajda. Even what gave you and I our honor, our worth, our value is our soul. Our soul. This is what we're supposed to look after, the soul. This is what we want to achieve at the end of our life. A pure soul, a pure heart that stands before Allah Azza wa Jal. Because this is what gave you honor. But I tell you something, my brothers and sisters in Islam. How sad is it today that the vast majority of mankind focus on their body and neglect their soul? This is evident in the question of people. I'm speaking among us Muslims. The questions that we receive, is Botox permissible? Are fillers permissible? What about veneers? Is it permissible? A hair transplant, is it permissible? Lifts, are they permissible? These are the people's questions. It's all about the body. It's all about the body. Where's the question of, teach me a hadith that would purify my soul? Teach me a hadith that brings me closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Instead of changing your nose, teach me a hadith that will change my character and my personality. Where are these questions? They didn't exist. Rarely do they come. And at the end of the day, when a person dies, his body is taken as it is and it's put into the dirt. Put into the dirt and closed. And the worms chew on it and eat it. And if there's silicon in the body, it's not chewed. Because the worms don't eat silicon. Subhanallah. And the soul is honored. Doesn't end up there. It goes up. It goes up to Allah Azza wa Jal. The soul. There is honor, there is worth, there is value in it. Those in the past used to look after their soul. I give you the story and the example of Uthman ibn Abi al-As radiallahu anhu. When he accepted Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to At-Ta'if. At-Ta'if is about 60 kilometers from Mecca, and Mecca is about 450 kilometers from Al-Madinah. So from At-Ta'if all the way to Al-Madinah is a distance of 14 days. One day Uthman ibn Abi al-As, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to At-Ta'if to lead the Muslims there in prayer and teach them their deen. Because they were new, they had no clue how to pray and how to worship. So he was there, he was teaching them. And he became distracted in his salat. He said, "Inna shaytan qad hala bayni wa bayna salati yulabbisuha alay." Shaytan began to distract him in his salat. He doesn't know what he's reading. He's mixed between, is this the third rak'ah or the fourth rak'ah? Is this the first or the second? He's confused. So he gets on his camel. And he goes a 14-day travel to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gets there, he comes down, he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, "O Prophet of Allah, a shaytan has come between me and my prayer, and he is distracting me. What do I do?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers him. He says, "This is a special shaytan for as-salat. It's called khinzab. He comes to you when you pray. So if he comes to you when you pray, spittle to your left three times, wherever you are in the prayer, and say, 'A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.'" That's the prophetic solution. He took this piece of information, got back on his camel, and went all the way to At-Ta'if another 14 days. 28 days of travel, just so he can look after his soul. People travel days and days to put a hair in his head. And those in the past would travel to see how he can get closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I'm not saying anything about hair transplants. It's permissible, no problems. But I'm just, look at the comparison. Look at the difference. They understood that the only thing that's going to benefit me on the Day of Judgment is a pure heart, a pure soul. So it's all right. It's worth it. 28 days of travel to see how can I refine my salat, which will purify my heart and my soul. He said he went back to At-Ta'if and he began to implement that prophetic solution. He said soon after, فَأَذْهَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَنِّي. Allah Azza wa Jalla got rid of this shaytan, and khushu' came back to me in my salat. He was hungry for the solution. He wanted to purify his heart and his soul. It came to him. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, he says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the Day of Judgment, no wealth nor children will be of any benefit. And these two were mentioned specifically because they're the most dearest to a person. Is there anything dearer to you than your wealth and your children? Nothing. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying the most beloved things and closest things to you, which is your wealth and children, will be of absolute no benefit to you on the Day of Judgment. So Allah, what will be of benefit to us? إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except who presents and comes on the Day of Judgment with a salim heart, with a heart that is pure and cleansed and purified. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, if you do not learn this lesson now, you're going to learn it the day you die. Because the day you die, it is when you will most definitely realize that your wealth is of no benefit. What's it going to do to you? In the final moments when your soul is coming out of your body and departing this worldly life, you will realize that your children are of no value, of no benefit to you. What can they do? The maximum is hold your hand and pat your head. That's it. You'll realize medicine and science and technology and research and all of it, there's no point. What's it going to do? Your cars, your homes, your businesses, everything you owned, your friends and your contacts and your relationships and all of this, of no benefit. Learn the lesson now, because if you don't, wallahi, before you leave the worldly life, you'll learn it. You'll realize that the only thing that is of benefit is your righteous deeds. That's it. Because that's going to go with you into the grave. And it's going to come out with you on the day of resurrection. And it's going to be put on the scale. It's going to follow you wherever you go. That pure heart, that pure soul, that is what is going to be of benefit. Allah tells us this in the Quran in multiple places. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, rush into doing good deeds. Give charity before a day comes. Before a day comes, before that day of death comes, in which one of you would say, my Lord, give me some time, extend my life a little bit more. Why? Why? He says, for a sadaq, so I can give a sadaqah, so I can engage in goodness. Wa akum min as-salihin, so that I may be righteous, so that I may work on my heart and cleanse it and purify my soul. Because now I'm realizing there's nothing of benefit to me. The only benefit to me now is a pure heart and a pure soul. But it's too late then. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla will not extend anyone's life if the time has come. خلاص, it's too late. Even we have from now until the day we die, Allahu A'lam when that is, in order for us to achieve a pure heart and a pure soul. That's what's going to benefit us. So how do we achieve a pure heart? Now that I've explained to you the importance of the pure heart and the pure soul. Allah Azza wa Jalla, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He says that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not look at your shapes and your images on the Day of Judgment. This Allah Azza wa Jalla does not care about your shape and your image. He doesn't. For people, that is a great concern for them in this worldly life. So he's in and out of the gym and there's no problem. Go to the gym every day. But give equal importance to the soul. Exercise that soul as well. Purify it. But the reality is that on the Day of Judgment, Allah does not look at the image and the shape. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. He observes your heart and your actions. That's what's important. Nothing else is important. How do we achieve that pure heart? Are we ready? Are we ready to stand before Allah Azza wa Jal with a pure heart and a clean heart? Are we ready? Everyone knows himself. You see, you need to be honest with yourself so that you start working on yourself. The one who lies to himself, he will never upgrade. He'll never learn. He'll never excel. He'll never be able to purify his heart. You need to be honest, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Who among us can put his hand and say, I have no hypocrisy in my heart? Who can put his hand up and say, I'm 100% certain there is no arrogance in my heart? Who can put his hand up and say, my heart is white, it's crystal, it's polished. There is not a dot of blackness on it. Who can do that? No one. You have to be honest with yourself. You can't. I'm not here to make you feel all good about yourself. You know, there's plenty of ayat and ahadith in the Quran that encourage us to Allah's mercy and His rahmah and His forgiveness, and we're all in need of that. But we need to first tap into our hearts. We need to be honest with ourselves. Like Hanbalah radiallahu anhu. Hanbalah walks the streets one day and he screams out, Nafaqa Hanbalah. Hanbalah is a munafiq. Hada sahabi. Sahabi. Walking the streets of Al-Madinah saying, I'm a munafiq. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hears him. He walks out. What's wrong, brother? Why are you a munafiq for? He says, Abu Bakr, don't you realize we are in the presence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's talking to us. We sit there with humility, khushu', as though the birds are on our heads. Allahu Akbar. The iman is pumping, it's erupting. And then we come back to our families and our jobs and our homes. It just dies out. That charge that was with us with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disappears when we go home. So I'm a munafiq. Allahu Akbar. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gets worried. Subhanallah. That's the same thing that happens with me. Let's go to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's go and tell him of our problem. Let's go before it's too late. We're still alive. Let's go find a solution to purify and cleanse the heart. Let's go. Hurry! Look at the concern for the soul. Look at the concern. Look at the rush. There's no time to waste. He knows they only have from now until we die. We got to get this right. They rush to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah. The reality is when we're with you, كَأَنَّمَا عَلَى رُؤُسِنَا الطَّيْرِ. Al-Iman is pumping. Birds are like, we feel them on our heads from khushu'. And when we leave, we're in a terrible state. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the reality of how Iman works, not like that, doesn't work like that. Don't think it's always going to be high and above. He says to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Iman was always high in the heart, the angels would have come and they would have shaken your hands on the streets and in your beds. You'd have been angels. That's not the case. It fluctuates, it goes up and down. When it goes down, you need to notice when it went down. And you need to do CPR to your soul. Revive, emergency state it gets into. You need to come to the spiritual hospitals, al-masajid. You need to take advantage of the spiritual occasions like Ramadan that is coming in less than 2 weeks. There's nothing left for Ramadan. It's a pit stop. This is a stop in where you'll refresh your heart and purify it and cleanse it and come closer and closer to your reality. Today, many, many can tell me a lot about the person sitting next to him. But I'm not interested about the person next to you. Tell me about yourself. Be honest about yourself. Is there nifaq in your heart or not? Is there arrogance in your heart or not? Is there ego and jealousy in your heart or not? You got to be honest. You need to be like Hanfala so that you're able to work with your heart and know it, its low points, its high points, so that you know when you need to revive it. Here's the problem of people today. Always complaining about their Iman. And we need something. And we need to do something. And he does nothing. But he knows he needs to do something. Maybe it's because he hasn't been honest with himself. He hasn't pointed the finger to himself to say, I think there's hypocrisy in this heart. I think my heart is black. Al-Qalb al-Saleem, my brothers and sisters in Islam. We want to stand before Allah Azza wa Jal with a pure heart, a pure soul. How are we going to do that? I'm going to share with you how. Let's take an example from the Quran about a man in history, a great prophet from the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah Azza wa Jal praises him by saying he had a pure heart. Allahu Akbar. That's our role model for tonight. And that is who? Huh? Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Abu al-Anbiya. Allahu Akbar. Ibrahim alayhi salam possessed a pure heart. And he is verified by Allah Azza wa Jal. The blue tick is by Allah Azza wa Jal. Doesn't pay any subscription fee for it or anything. Came from Allah. It's mentioned in the Quran. There's the true role model. I tell you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the biggest crises we have today in our ummah is that there's no role models. There's no role models. Who are the role models on earth? They call them influencers. They're all over social media. Who are these people? Who are these people? Naked men, naked women, kids. You know, on YouTube, the most followed on YouTube, who is it? You know? I don't know. I just made a search just so I can come bring it to your attention. Someone called Mr. Beast. You might think, Allahu Akbar, Mr. Beast. You open the channel, it's like a little kid. 365 million followers. How many times over is that Australia? Australia is what, 25 million? How many times over does this guy have? 10, 12, 15 Australians following him? Had a role model, kids. Naked men, naked women, sports stars, dancers, singers. We had a singer recently here that he came to Melbourne, sold out, hundreds of thousands attending just to listen to his voice and dance a little bit. He's the role models of the world. And it's catching the attention of the young Muslims really quick. And they're drowning in this. And then they take from what they see, and they want to create their own profiles. And they want to be like them. This is why the world, the vast majority, don't have dignity. They don't have self-respect. The vast majority of the world doesn't have dignity and self-respect and honor anymore. Because these are the role models. We're in need of role models. You're not going to find anyone better than the role models that are approved by Allah Azza wa Jal and made mention of in the Quran. And their story is preserved until the end of times, because these role models are not out of date. Ibrahim alayhi salam is not a role model out of date. We've outdated him. We're in new times. It doesn't work like that. Quran is the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. Serves as a guidance for every person from the day it was revealed until the last man to stand on earth. That's the power of the Quran. In fact, Ibrahim alayhi salam was a role model for our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not commanded to follow a specific path of a prophet except for Ibrahim alayhi salam. ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين. We commanded to you, Messenger of Allah, follow the path of Ibrahim, the straight path of Ibrahim. وما كان من المشركين. He had absolutely nothing to do with shirk and false beliefs and fake fabricated beliefs. His heart was clean. It embraced the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let me tell you about Ibrahim. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in the Quran, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allahu Akbar. وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ, and from the followers of Nuh alayhi salam is Ibrahim. He said, the prophets follow each other. They learn the tawheed of the prophet before and they follow in that path. وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. When he came to his Lord with a pure heart. Allahu Akbar. This is Allah Azza wa Jal capturing a moment of Ibrahim in this worldly life. إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ. Whenever he came to Allah, meaning whenever he obeyed the commandments of Allah, whenever he walked to Allah Azza wa Jal in this worldly life, embracing the commands of Allah, he always did so with a pure heart. بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, one day, he faced his people. His people were idol worshippers, all of them. His dad was worse than his own people. He would manufacture the idols and sell them. This is the time he lived in, very tough time. They're worshipping idols, worshipping the sun, the moon, the stars. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. He faced his people one day. And he said, my father, my people, what are you people worshipping? Shuf, the person of a pure heart, straightforward. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. What are you worshipping? أَيْفْكَنْ عَالِهَةً دُونَ اللَّهِ تُرِيدُونَ. Is it this false deities, fake, fabricated idols and lords you desire instead of Allah Azza wa Jal? He's challenging their shirk. A man that possesses a pure heart challenges falsehood in his community and society. He stands in front of it and challenges it. Teach me the logic behind your falsehood. Teach me. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. Now they respond. They say to him, نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا, and we worship idols. فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ, and we do i'tikaf at the idol. We're committed to the worship of the idols. Yani, don't think that you're going to come and bring us something that is going to confuse us. We're here. We're bent upon the worship of idols. We're committed. We're solid. We're firm. We believe in these idols. فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. A man who possesses a pure heart responds, wants to clean the filth around him. He says to them, قَالَ هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَضُرُّونَ. Do they hear you? Do they hear you when you call out to them? Do they benefit you or harm you in any way, shape, or form? No. My brothers and sisters in Islam, today, maybe it's not idols that people worship. Today it's belief systems that people worship. They're just like idols. Feminism, an atheism, a liberalism, and whatever ism you want to mention. These are all in the same position as idols. Exactly the same, nothing different. The idol, in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, someone would wake up one morning, he'd come to a stone, he'd start to carve into it until he made the shape of an idol. Same thing as the beliefs. Someone wakes up late at night, in the morning, whatever it is, puts a set of beliefs for mankind, says to them, here, this is called feminism, follow it. This is atheism, here, follow it. Ibrahim alayhi salam's time, if the idol went out of shape, they'll get the chisel and they'll fix it. Carve a bit more, fix the shape, fix the design. Same thing as modern beliefs. Here's the modern belief. There's a certain thing that's outdated. Let's fix it. We'll remove this and we'll say to the world, actually, this is how it is. Yeah, atheism changes every 2-3 years. Every 2-3 years, there's a new belief that comes out, explaining to us how the universe came about. When the deen, when a belief system continues to change, you will find its followers continuously changing. So someone is on atheism for 2 years, he becomes something else for another 2 years. Then he becomes something else for another 2 years. Until Allah Azza wa Jal guides someone to Islam, when someone is upon Islam, he hardly leaves. Because Islam is solid. Islam is firm. Islam hasn't changed since 1,400 years ago. So its followers are going to be firm as well. Because you're adhering to something that is solid. Why would you change? That's one of the greatest proofs that Islam is the real and correct religion that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with for mankind. Its followers are not in doubt. Its followers are like Ibrahim alayhi salam. You'll see. So they say, فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. He says to them, هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَضُرُّونَ. Look at their response. When he said to them, do these idols, do they hear you? Do they benefit you? Do they harm you? He said to them, they said, بَلْ وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. Well, we found our forefathers worshipping, so that's why we're worshipping. So what a lame excuse. Your entire deen, you're going to see that it is the truth because your father and your forefather was upon it. That's it. Didn't have a better explanation. Wallahi, and by Allah, the majority of those that are upon other than Islam, if you ask him, why are you Christian? Why are you a Jew? Why are you an atheist? He'll say, I was raised in a family of Christianity. I was born into a family that were Jews, like that. Type, those that say I was raised among a family that were Christians. Bye. Did Allah command you to follow your father? Or you should be believing that you're supposed to be following Jesus? Is that right? Why don't you say that God commanded us to follow Jesus and I'm going to follow him? Why is your excuse always, I follow what my father was following? Because you're a liar. Your father was, for example, a panel beater. He used to eat this, he used to drink that. How come you don't do exactly what he does? He used to dress in this manner, he used to do in this manner, his friends were such and such. Why don't you follow him then in everything that he did? Sure, the one who's upon other than Islam is very shaky. And so the person with a pure heart knows how to respond. He's got solid belief. Didn't God say to you, follow Jesus? Once he agrees, tell him, come. Let's see what Jesus actually said so we can follow him. And then the congratulating news is that there is not a single verse in the Bible in where Jesus said, follow me, worship me, and I'm your Lord. خلاص, finished. So we come back to the pure and original message of Isa alayhi salam, which is follow one Lord. We're done. This is how weak this statement is. This is a man with a pure heart standing in front of his people. So now, this is their response. وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. Now listen. He says, قَالَ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمُ الْأَقْدَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌّ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He says, listen, I got some information for you. You see, everything you worship, all of it, and everything your forefathers worshipped of these idols and these creation, let me tell you something. فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌّ لِي. They are all an enemy to me. I hate them, and they hate me as well. I'm an enemy to all of it. إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Except the Lord of the world. Listen now, listen. A person who possesses a pure heart and a pure soul would say this, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam's word. He says, it is Allah who created me, and He is the one who guides me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. And it is He who feeds me and provides for me and nourishes me and clothes me. وَيَسْقِينَ. And He's the one who provides for me to drink. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ. And it is He who causes my life, and He causes my death. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And if I was to ever fall sick, Allahu Akbar, look at his manners with Allah. He does not say, if Allah made me sick. He said, if I was to fall sick, then it is Allah who cures me. Not the doctor, not the medicine, not the specialist, not the surgeon. These are all means. These are all means. Maybe they work, maybe they don't work. But the one who is called a Shafi is Allah. The medicine is not called Shafi. The doctor is not called Shafi. Allah is a Shafi. It's His name. فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ. وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينَ. And I have high hope that it is He who will forgive my errors and my mistakes on that day. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the one who possesses a pure heart, he's quick to acknowledge and realize and recognize that Allah created him, and Allah guides him, and Allah feeds him, and Allah clothes him, and Allah decrees his life, and Allah takes his life away, and Allah decrees all his affairs and all his matters. That's the pure heart. It's a heart that is solid in its conviction that Allah is the Lord. That's a pure heart. But I tell you something. If you acknowledge this and you're with me and you say, yes, indeed, I believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla is my Lord, and He is the maintainer of all my affairs, then I tell you something, and be prepared for it. Whoever makes this statement, whoever makes this testimony, whoever says, La ilaha illallah, and my Lord is Allah, you'll be tested. You have to be tested. These are heavy words. You think that you'll be able to say it. No test to see your commitment upon it. Anyone can say it. Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to test your commitment upon this word. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, حَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتَرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يَفْتَنُونَ. Did the people assume they could say like what Ibrahim said, وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, and they will not be tested. They won't be tested. Tested in terms of their commitment upon La ilaha illallah. So let's continue with our role model, Ibrahim. He made this huge declaration in front of his people. Allahu Akbar, powerful words. Revisit these words later on tonight and just reflect and ponder. Just keep reading over them in Surah Ash-Shu'ara. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam is 80 years old. And he's been wanting a child for a very long time. He's no child. He married his first wife, Sarah. She couldn't conceive. So there were no children between him and her. Long story, Sarah was gifted Hajar, and then Sarah gifted Hajar to her husband Ibrahim alayhi salam. He married Hajar alayhi salam, and from her he had the first child. Allahu Akbar. 80 years old, the first child, Ismail alayhi salam, la ilaha illallah. And he's so happy and he's so delighted. You know, even today, how excited do people become when they hear the news that the wife is pregnant? People do baby showers, gender reveal, spending thousands of dollars. You have men in suits popping pink balloons. But that's the excitement, right? They call it a bundle of joy. All people coming and visiting and gifts and Allahu Akbar. Imagine 80 years old. You've wanted a child all your life. Didn't come until that age. How excited is such a person? But test is coming. Test is coming. You said that Allah is your Lord. We're going to test you. Allah Azza wa Jal sends down the first test to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says to him, Ya Ibrahim, take your family and your newborn. Take them. Put them in a desert. Biwadin ghayri dhi zara. In an uncultivated valley. What does that mean? Meaning a valley where there's no greenery. There's no grass. There's no water. There's no people. There's no animals. There's nothing. Just a barren, hot desert. And a sun that is striking on this earth. Take them, put them there, and go to Asham, Ya Ibrahim. Go towards Syria and Jordan. Go. Allahu Akbar. What's the logic behind that? What, how do I understand this? As an 80-year-old father, enjoying the first moments with his first newborn. Lakin the pure heart knows that if I've said La ilaha illallah, as difficult as the command is, as agonizing as the command is, as much as pain there is in this command, it's got to be the truth. Came from Allah. There's got to be goodness in it. I can't see it. I don't care if I see it or not. It's the truth. Khalas, it came from Allah. I got to go. He doesn't hesitate. He walks off. Hajar radiallahu anha says, Ya Ibrahim, where are you going? He left with them some water and some dates. And he walked off. He's not looking back. Ya Ibrahim, a second time. He's not looking back. Ulama rahimahumullah said he did not look back because if he saw them in the state they were in, his emotions perhaps would have taken the better of him and he would have cancelled this command of Allah. It would have been in big trouble. He doesn't want to see them. He continues to walk. He's almost out of sight. And Hajar calls one final time, Ya Ibrahim, Allahu amaraka bihada. Oh Ibrahim, is this what Allah commanded you? The narration says he nods his head. Yani in affirmation, yes. Allahu Akbar. And look at this believing woman. Her husband is a righteous man, he's a prophet. He trained them well. She said, إِذَا لَيُّضَيَّعَنَ اللَّهُ. In that case, Allah will not abandon us. He will not neglect us. How, Ya Hajar? I don't know how, but this is my belief in Allah. تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And she goes up the mountain to look for food, to look for life, to look for people, for something. Her baby is down crying. Where the Kaaba is now, he was a couple of meters out by himself, crying. There's no shade. She can't carry him. She went up to a mountain. This is a woman that has just given birth. You know today, if a woman gave birth, there's something called maternity leave. Maternity leave. She's entitled to leave, what, 6-8 weeks? I don't know. Long break. Of course, it's justified. A woman is tired. Even in Islam, Allah says, don't pray, don't fast. Leave these huge obligations out. The one who leaves them is a kafir. But Allah Azza wa Jal considers the state a woman is in after she's given birth. Hajar radiallahu anha, there's none of this. There's no labor. There's no break. And up a mountain, a sand mountain. Do you know how difficult it is to walk on sand? And she's walking up. And seven times You want to say La ilaha illallah? You're going to be tested. You have to be tested. And don't you dare ask, oh, what's the wisdom behind this? What's the logic? Who are you asking? Who are you asking when you say, what's the wisdom behind the hijab? What's the wisdom behind praying five times a day? Why? Who are you asking? Who do you expect a response from? Allah is going to respond to you. Who are you? Who are you? The pure heart embraces the command of Allah. Yes, there is pain. There is struggle. There is difficulty. There is agony. There's tears, there's blood, there's sweat. But actually all of that, in Islam, we call it sabr. We call it patience. And that patience works towards purifying the heart, cleansing the heart, elevating the ranks and the levels of the person. That's what it does. It's not a waste. It's not difficulty gone to waste. It's not blood gone to waste. That's called sabr in Islam. As-sabru ala ta'ah. Fa'abudhu wa-stabir li'ibadatih. Allah said, worship Him and remain patient and firm and steadfast upon His worship. Don't give up until the day you meet Him. Do like Ibrahim. Do like the wife, Hajar. Eventually, Jibreel alayhi salam is sent down. Allahu Akbar. Allah is with the believers. And he strikes the earth with one of his wings, and Zamzam gushes out. Until this day, it's gushing out as a reminder for you and I that the one who says La ilaha illallah and stands firm upon it and obeys every commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal, relief comes to him in unimaginable ways. Who imagined Zamzam was going to gush out in the middle of a desert? There's no life there. Alhamdulillah, Allah's relief comes. They've passed the test. It's a close one. There was almost death in this, but they survived. Ibrahim is not here yet. He's gone to Asham. He's got no clue. There's no WhatsApp. There's no social media to update the status. We're all right. We're okay. There's nothing. Khalas, tawakkaltu ala Allah. I don't want to know what happens. So long as I'm obeying Allah, I don't want to know. I'm not interested. I'm interested in the command that's ahead of me to fulfill it. That's it. Each to himself. A while later, there are people known as the people of Jurhum. They observe some life. They see some water there. They see some birds on top of this Zamzam. These people of Jurhum approach this water. They find Hajar and her son. They seek her permission. Can we live here? Because wherever there's water, there's life. She gives them permission, no problems. The people of Jurhum are the first people who lived in that area and settled in Mecca. They built their homes, they built their life, and they got married and children, and there was life now in Mecca. Years later, Ibrahim alayhi salam comes and he sees his wife and his child for the very first time. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And from then on, he continues to go back to Asham and appease from time to time, visits on his family, checks up on him. Now the second test is coming. And he's even bigger and greater than the first one. He's got to get ready. Whoever's going to say La ilaha illallah is going to get ready. That's how it is. It's very easy to say La ilaha illallah in easy times. Very difficult to say La ilaha illallah in difficult times. He comes back. This time when he comes back to Mecca, his son Ismail alayhi salam is at the age, is at a beautiful age. Allah calls it فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي. It's at a nice age. Act like a young adult. He starts walking with his father. بَلَغَ مَعَهُ مَعَهُ. He walks with his dad. السَّعِي. That's a beautiful age for a parent. That's like a 13, 40, 14-year-old kid. You know, fathers that have that children and at that age, Allah, it's beautiful. You can now talk to your son. Huh? He responds. You're teaching him, he's learning life from you. Beautiful. Take him to Al-Masjid, stands next to you, he prays. You're teaching him. You actually spend on him, you feel good. That's much better than when they're first born, changing their nappies and feeding them and there's no talk, conversation. I'm saying this to you so you can now understand that it's a kind of attachment he has with his son now. So now the test that is coming to him is much worse more intense than the first one. The test comes. Ibrahim alayhi salam, in his dream, for many nights on end, he continues to see in his dream slaughtering his son. Allahu Akbar. Slaughtering his son. If you woke up today, had seen a dream that you were slaughtering your son, would you actually think it's a good idea to go to your son and tell him? La wallah, you'd be scared. Let alone go and tell him and frighten him. You won't. What would people think of you, Aslan, if you said that? Huh? What would people think? This guy's gone mad. Crazy. He approaches his son after many nights seeing this exact same dream. He says, Ya Bunay, my beloved son, Inni Ara. Ara is a present tense which implies continuity. Meaning this thing here, he didn't say it only once. He's seen it more than once. He kept holding it back, but now he cannot hold it back anymore. Khalas, it's a clear sign. It's a command from Allah coming to me through a dream. Inni Ara fil manami anni azbahuk. My son, my beloved son, I continue to see in my dream that I'm slaughtering you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Go and have a deep look into the situation. Let me know what your thoughts are. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Allahu Akbar. مَاذَا تَرَى. What if a father went to his son today, told him, son, I'm seeing I'm slaughtering you. What happens? You most likely, the son would run away, would curse his dad, will go inform about him, will do things like this. The incredible thing is, the father is righteous, the mother is righteous, La ilaha illallah is rooted in their hearts. How do you expect the children to come out? Most likely righteous as well. Let's see. Ismail alayhi salam says, Ya aba tif'al ma tumar, satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. Go ahead, my beloved father. Do as you have been commanded. You're going to see me from among those who observe patience when this act is being done. Go ahead, yalla. Allahu Akbar. Righteous parents give birth to righteous children by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Today, parents are away from their kids. I was 2 days ago in Melbourne. I received a paper from a mother. She didn't want to say the situation to me, so she had written it on a paper. Within the paper, it said that her husband has made it clear to her that he can no longer be a father to the kids and use whatever money you want from my wealth. But I can't be there for him. I can't be there for him. What do you mean I can't be there for him? Until you thought your biggest responsibility in life is to feed him and clothe him and take him to karate and take him to soccer? I thought this is it. Your biggest responsibility with your kids is their iman, is their deen. And this is what you'll be questioned on the day of judgment. And this is Ibrahim alayhi salam approaching his son, saying to him these what we know as, perhaps we'll say weed words. What's this command? What is this commandment? Slaughter him. Didn't that come from Allah? It's got to be the truth. That's how he's raised his son. Islam, my son, hold it. It's all the truth. Embrace it. Here you'll find a pure heart. Here, once you embrace it, you'll be ready to stand before Allah. If'al ma tu'mar, go and do what you want. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا, when they both submitted to Allah's command, Allahu Akbar, وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. Now he took his son and went all the way to Mina. Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. Al-jabin is the forehead. He held his son and he put his forehead on the ground. He put his forehead on the ground, so he was going to slaughter this way. Ulama rahimahumullah said he did not put the back of his head on the ground so that if he saw him and saw the panic and the fear in his face, he would have aborted the mission. He would have then lost his entire deen. Allahu Akbar. And there's nothing worth. Nothing is worth it to lose your, even if you have to lose him, don't lose your iman. Don't lose your iman. So he puts him face down. وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ, and the head is shaking. And he took the knife. And he placed it on his neck. And he began to do the motion of slaughtering. Allahu Akbar, he was ready to lose him. He was ready to see blood. He was ready to say, Alhamdulillah, I fulfilled Allah's command. He was ready for these feelings. Lakin Allah Azza wa Jal bestowed his compassion and mercy upon him. And a call calls out, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. You have been honest to the dream, to the command of Allah. You really want Allah Azza wa Jal. You want to obey Allah. You really do love Allah more than your son. Khalas, you've passed. There's no point. Leave your son. Leave him. And Allah Azza wa Jal sent down a ram, a huge ram. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. And he slaughtered him. And we slaughter that every year in Eid al-Adha to reflect and to say, oh Allah, if you had commanded us to slaughter our own sons, we would have slaughtered them. We would have. Because we prefer Allah over anything else. That's the pure heart. The pure heart is going to prefer Allah's command and Allah's love over anything else. That's the pure heart. This is it. But I tell you something, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah, listen to this. Allah Azza wa Jal did not command us to abandon our families somewhere in the desert. Wallahi, He did not command us to slaughter our sons. Wallahi, He did not command us with things that we cannot do. Look at the deen, look how simple it is. 5 prayers a day, akhi. 5 prayers a day, my sister. Well, there's Ramadan, 30 days, fasted, it's good for you. It's going to purify your heart, cleanse you, get you ready for the meeting with Allah. Well, there's 2.5% of your wealth, you pay it as zakat. And if you can afford al-hajj, go to al-hajj. There's specific foods you need to keep away from, specific drinks, please keep away from that. There's a specific dress code, please adhere to it. Wear it, my brother, my sister especially. There is a specific dress code, adhere to it. Come on, it's not a lot, it's not a lot. Wallah, it's not. What's so hard about understanding it? Adhere to it. So that you can prove to yourself that you have a pure heart. Today, there's an airline. I don't know what type of airline. But this airline, its policy is that every female worker of the stewardess, the air, the crew, every female worker must be dressed, one of the Arabian countries, and must be covered. The head must be covered. The hair must be covered and must be dressed. And people do it. No problems. They find within themselves, oh, it's okay, I'll do it. Even if they're not people that wear the hijab, even if these are women that don't wear the hijab, they'll wear it for those couple of hours because it's the airline policy. There's a job, there's money after it. Okay, so you were able to do it. Tayyib, Allah Azza wa Jal has a policy before any airline policy. The policy of Allah Azza wa Jal, the law of Allah, the command of Allah. There's a specific dress code for a male, for a female. You must obey it. You must adhere to it. You must prove that you want al-qalb al-saleem, this pure heart. Once you fulfill Allah's commands, maybe sometimes in the commands there's difficulty. Of course there is. Told you, look at Ibrahim. What difficulty did he go through? There is difficulty. There is pain. There is blood. There is sweat. There's fatigue. But all of that, we call that sabr. We call that sabr. There is reward. There is purification in this. Once you fulfill Allah's commands, the caller will call out, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. You've been honest to the commands of Allah. That's how you attain a pure heart, my brothers and sisters in Islam. That's it. That's my message. The message, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is to see where Allah's commands are and adhere to them and follow them and understand that you'll be tested along the way. And when you are tested, the absolute worst thing you can do during a calamity is to engage in sin and leave the obligations, which is what people do. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. During calamities, he believes Allah's not with him. Why did Allah abandon me? How come Allah Azza wa Jal neglected me? Why is Allah angry and upset with me? Ya akhi, why are you understanding like this? Allah told you if you will say La ilaha illallah, the test is coming. The test is coming. Allah Azza wa Jal is only testing your commitment. And at that moment, you lose your commitment. You didn't understand the message of the calamity. You did not understand it. Ibrahim alayhi salam should be a great model to all of us. That's the pure heart. Finally, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Qalb al-Salim is a pure heart. The word as-Salim, Salim, it means something that is absolutely free from scratches and damage and dents. Huh? If I was to say to you, the car outside I purchased it today, it is Salim. You know what that means? That means it's brand new, just came out. There's no dent, there's no scratch, there's nothing on it. That's Salim. That's the heart that's going to benefit you. You know when you had this heart? When you came out from your mother. See that heart? See that fresh heart? As soon as you just came out, it's only been a second coming out. See how pure it is. See how clean it is. A baby's heart, how clean is it? It's got no clue what's going on in this earth. It only knows Allah. And it relies upon Allah for its food, which is the breast milk. And even that, human beings have no idea, no yani hand in it. This is a machine designed by Allah Azza wa Jal. You eat food, milk comes out. The animal eats grass, milk comes out. And the filters at the tip are never changed. Palas, they'll serve a lifetime. Like, no, we have air conditions, you got to change the filters every few months. Sunallah. That's the, see, when I'm saying that, when you see this kid coming out, that's the pure heart. That's all he knows. My rizq is upon Allah. That's the heart you need to come back with on the day of judgment. The same one that Allah gave you when you first came out. It was clean. It had no, it wasn't tarnished and damaged with shirk. It wasn't tainted and blackened with sins. It wasn't affected by doubts and major and minor sins and innovations. That's the pure heart. The heart that is clean from all forms of shirk, from all impurities, from doubts and from major sins and minor sins and from innovations. That's the pure heart. And to come back with this, obey Allah, follow the commands properly, patience in the time of calamity with a lot of istighfar to do with the major and the minor sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse our hearts. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be pleased with Him as our Lord and to grant us pleasure that Islam is our deen. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us within our hearts to accept the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our prophet and messenger. We ask Allah azza wa jal that He raise us among ash-shuhada wa-s-siddiqeen wal-anbiya and that He admit us into the paradise with them. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bestow His pleasure upon us and His mercy and His forgiveness and His compassion and His gentleness. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to reach Ramadan and to allow us to benefit from Ramadan and to give us the ability that we worship Him in Ramadan. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds in Ramadan and to bless them for us and to admit us into the highest levels of the paradise. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayhi wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.